This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica affiliates, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. All eyes were on the United States on 11/9 when Donald Trump won enough Electoral College votes to cinch the presidency. Among the most anxious watchers of the U.S. election were the attendees of a global meeting in Marrakech, Morocco, working to combat climate change. With Trump having declared global warming a hoax, climate justice activists and even country delegates at the COP22 United Nations meeting were likely thrown off balance by this political earthquake. Before the election, we had spoken with an organizer in Morocco. We turn now back to Lerato Letebele. She is the Africa Arab World Communications Coordinator for 350.org. Welcome to the program. Welcome back, Lerato.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you for having me back.
So we had talked to you before the election. This is a lengthy meeting, far, you know, longer than the Paris meeting, the COP21 meeting last year. This was, as we discussed last time, where the nuts and bolts of how the Paris Accord get implemented. What were you feeling on election night while you were watching in Morocco and keeping attention? And what was the sort of group of people gathered there? How have they been responding to Trump's presidency and his win?
Well, Sonali, you know, the whole world watched in such anticipation and obviously, you know, suffered a lot of shock due to the results. But, you know, for us on the African continent, as much as we acknowledge that, you know, America is a powerful country, and most importantly, it is the second largest contributor to carbon emissions. So, you know, to allow a huge climate denialist such Donald Trump to dictate the manner in which we will be doing our work is definitely a thought and a process that we are not entertaining. In fact, we are far more geared up and far more resilient in ensuring that our own national governments here in the region basically stick to their commitments in escalating actions to stop climate change and the impacts that we are currently seeing on the region.
Did the results of the election change the conversations that people were having? Because I'm assuming that you, like us here, expected Hillary Clinton to win the election. Did Trump's win suddenly make people sort of change the kinds of discussions they were having?
Naturally, people were a bit discouraged, of course, and anticipating the worst in terms of the USA threatening to pull out of the Paris Agreement. But once again, I need to reiterate that, you know, this goes to show that, you know, we still have people power. As civil society, we cannot allow one person to dictate to us how the world is going to deal with climate impacts. For us, it really is about ensuring that the world knows that way too much work has been put into this. We've come a long way in ensuring that millions of people's lives are actually changed as we go on in ensuring that community-led solutions are actually at the forefront of the negotiations.
So can the U.S. actually pull out of the Paris Accord, or is it a done deal with President Obama's signature?
Well, you know, we already have more than 100 countries that have already signed on and ratified. So it would be a lengthy process for the USA to actually pull out of it. And if they do pull out, it basically goes to confirm that the USA is basically not interested in ensuring that we are accelerating the just transition towards renewable energies, but instead they want to increase fossil fuel industry and increase their carbon footprint. And, you know, as much as we can speak out against it, it really is up to the people in the USA to ensure that their government does not do that.
Right. And the US and China in particular are two of the most polluting countries in the world under President Obama. In addition to the Paris Accord, there had been a bilateral agreement, a very important one between the US and China, modest, but at least acknowledging that something needs to be done about fossil fuel production. If the US does pull out, is it likely to threaten China's position as well? Because for so long before that bilateral agreement, both countries had been pointing to one another, saying, but what about the, you know, what about the US? What about the China? What about China?
I mean, you're asking a very pertinent question, Sonali, and I can only answer to that in terms of what it means for Africa, because that is the continent that basically matters to us right now. We are the continent that's facing the highest and the biggest consequences due to countries such as China and America denying and not actually taking responsibility for the climate impacts we are currently seeing. And for us, it's far more important that big polluters such as China, such as America, and these multinationals, they need to pull out of Africa. They need to stop extractivism as a whole so that we can basically move on in terms of establishing policies that will support our renewable processes.
Right. I mean, those are very important points because the US and China both have many multinational companies that are engaged in these extractive processes in many African countries, not just necessarily even fossil fuel, but even minerals and other sort of elements that are used in new technologies. So I understand the 350.org, the organization you work for, has affirmed and basically demanded that there be no more new fossil fuel development. On the one hand, we have existing projects, but then there are new projects that are in the works that going ahead would be a setback for the planet's future.
Absolutely. And as much as we acknowledge that existing plants cannot be stopped or halted immediately, we need to phase them out. But at the same time, we do have the power, or our governments have the power, to ensure that all new fossil fuel developments don't go ahead. But, you know, on the ground, for example, we have very strong communities that are pushing back against these new developments. I can speak to one of our campaigns in Kenya, where we are working in coalition with the Save Lamu campaign, where the communities have basically got to a point where the company has had to revoke its license. So this goes to show that, you know, there are still people powers and very successful stories on the ground where people are adamant that we do not need any new fossil fuel developments.
What is the role also of activists been in COP22, speaking out about the Dakota Access Pipeline here in the United States? This has been a big flashpoint in North Dakota, but because indigenous communities in particular have taken positions at the front lines of the movement against this major pipeline, I know that people around the world have been speaking out about it as well, and it's become an international issue. Has it also been raised at COP22?
Yes, it has been raised, and we have seen a lot of indigenous communities that have come here basically having their voices heard. And it's been fantastic to see the support that has come in across the world, as well as civil society, but here in Africa, most importantly, because this is just a group that's very representative of many groups and many communities across the world. And their voices need to be heard as we continue our fight against climate impacts.
And so finally, Lerato, I know that you are in a rush, so we just have one more question for you. What is the final product now coming out of COP22? What should we expect? Last year for COP21, an agreement was desperately anticipated and it did come through. Out of COP22, is there a clearly identifiable outcome that you and others are hoping for, or is it more complex than that?
Well, you know, this is the second week, and a lot of the high-profile governments are starting to come in. But definitely the message that needs to come out from this COP22 is that this is the COP for action. This is the time for action. This is a time when governments need to be accountable. And most importantly, for the African context, this is the time when our governments discourage any new fossil fuel development and completely discourage multinationals from continuing to extract from the continent.
Lerato, give out a website where people can find out more about your work.
Oh, definitely. We are at 350.org, and you can find all our work on there. As you know, we're a global and international organization, so anybody across the world can find out about the work we're doing.
Lerato Letebele is the Africa Arab World Communications Coordinator for 350.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Thank you.
This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RU with Sonali.